discovering stories of courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
Life is short, I want to live it well. One life, one story to tell. Life is short, I want to live it well. And you're the one I'm living for.
Mesquite, Texas is famed as the rodeo capital of the Lone Star State, which is not an unimpressive distinction in a state rather well known for its cowboys. But Mesquite is also the site of a musical awakening. For it is said that it was in a Starbucks in this fair city that Mr. Josh Havens, today the guitarist and lead singer of The Afters, first started performing with his bandmate Matt Fuquay, a pair of singing baristas that started something very special. Today we'll meet lead singer Josh, head back to Mesquite, and find out what The Afters are up to these days on the road. Welcome to the show, Josh. It's so good to be speaking with you today, sir.
Thank you for having me on.
Well, it really is our pleasure. How is life treating you today? You're creating songs today. You're creating music.
Yes, no, life is good. I'm in Nashville right now, working on some new music. Been in the studio all day writing and recording, and taking a little trip away from home. I live in Phoenix, Arizona now. And so I'm escaping the furnace, we call it. You know, it's so hot in Phoenix right now. So it's nice to be out here in Nashville where it's a little bit cooler.
I actually heard that it was so warm the other day that they actually couldn't launch planes from the airport.
They had to ground planes. Yeah, it was too hot for them to take off.
Now,
you can literally bake cookies on the dashboard of your car. We tried it and it worked.
Were they good cookies?
Oh, they were delicious. Yeah, a little crispy on the outside, chewy on the inside. Perfect.
Well, even if the interview stopped right now, we learned something new. See, so
yeah, come visit me in Arizona, and we'll make cookies in the summer.
Now you better watch yourself because somebody's going to take you up on that. So be careful. Well, now what's been keeping you boys in the band, The Afters? What's been keeping you guys busy these days? Obviously, you're recording new music right now.
Yeah, we've been writing and recording, and we had a spring tour. We've all taken a little bit of family time this summer to take some trips. I was in Belgium with my wife earlier this summer, and spent some time in California with my family. And yes, it's been a great summer. We're also real involved in our churches, and so we've had been real plugged in there. And yeah, gearing up for our fall tour, and then we're doing a European tour later this fall.
That's tremendous. What was Belgium like?
Oh, Belgium is wonderful. You see, we tour Europe about once a year with the band, and have some music that's done well over there. And so we built up a fan base in parts of Europe. And so early on when we started doing that, I started noticing all these amazing villages that I wanted to bring my wife back to, bring my kids back to. And so we had an opportunity to have some time off, and so I brought my wife to one of those towns that I love so much, and was able to be her tour guide and share some of that with her. Mm,
that's really cool. Well, that's a fascinating thing about 2017, of course, that your music is going all over the world, and we often think about tours with a band like yours being confined to the lower 48, but can you pinpoint what is it about The Afters that the Belgians love so much?
Oh, that's a good question. I know that in parts of Europe, it's a different system there. And so, like, for instance, their radio stations, they don't have Christian radio, but on their pop stations, once an hour, they have to play an inspirational song.
Oh.
And there's been songs of ours that they've used for that have gotten lots of play. So, like, for instance, in Holland, we have some songs that got a lot of play, even on pop radio, which is cool because when we've gone there, we've had fans who, you know, never listened to Christian music who've come to the shows, and it's been a cool opportunity to reach people and you know, bring Jesus to a different part of the world. And but no, we love it over there. The church is in a very different place there, so we feel like missionaries, you know, when we're playing shows over there.
We're on with Josh Havens today, the guitarist and lead vocalist of The Afters, just a tremendous group that's seen so much success not only in the United States, but also in Belgium, as we're discovering today here on the road on Faith Radio. And my name is Ryan Thomas. So before we start in on, you know, the message behind the music, can you take me back to Starbucks, brother? Are the legends true? How did you and Matt begin to make music there in the shadows of latte creation?
It is true. We got started at a Starbucks in Mesquite, Texas. My bandmate that I started the band with, Matt, he was a friend from high school, but he was a couple years ahead of me, so we weren't super close. But then when I started working at Starbucks after I graduated high school, he started working the same store with me, and we worked the morning shift. And we were both worship leaders for different college groups, so we always had acoustic guitars that we brought around with us. And one day, it was kind of slow, and so we grabbed our guitars and started making up songs right there in the store. Customers would walk in, and we'd start singing out their drink orders and just making up goofy songs. And one thing led to another, and people started telling us that we sounded good singing together, and they wanted to know, when are you guys going to play a show? And so there was actually someone who asked us if we could put together a set of music for a missions conference that was happening at Dallas Theological Seminary. And we thought that sounded like fun. So we put together a set of music, and we asked a buddy to play cajon, and another one of Matt's cousins played cello. And so we put together this set of music, and the response was so great that we thought, well, let's book another show. And we had about 300 people that came out to our first official show.
Wow.
And I thought most of them were Starbucks customers. I owe a lot in my life to that time there. Because I also met my wife at that Starbucks.
Wow.
And I remember that season of life. In fact, just the other day, my wife and I were talking about this. Because I learned so much from that period of life. Because, you know, I was a musician, and I always dreamed of being able to do music. And, you know, that was my dream.
Yeah.
And I was working as a barista making coffee at Starbucks. You know, that was not my dream. It was fun. But it wasn't what I felt like, you know, this is not what I want to do for the rest of my life. And I remember praying about it and really feeling God say, you need to pour yourself into wherever I plant you and trust me. Wow. And so during that time, I poured myself into being the best barista I could be. I took all these extra classes, and I even earned, there's this thing in the Starbucks system called the Black Apron, which is when you're like a Jedi of coffee and you get to wear this prestigious black apron when everybody else has green ones. And it just means you know a lot about coffee. So I poured myself into being my best there. And it was through relationships there that I started the band, you know, and the doors opened. And ultimately, relationships that led to us being signed and having a career in music. And if I hadn't poured myself into where God had planted me at that moment, you know, who knows if any of that would have happened. And I'm sure that if I hadn't been giving my all and giving my best, my wife probably wouldn't have been very impressed with me either, you know.
Yeah.
But we ended up, together there through meeting each other at Starbucks. It was a reminder to me that sometimes we're at a place in life where we feel stuck, or we feel like, man, this is not what I was made to do. And it was a reminder to trust God and be our best and pour ourselves into wherever we are, and it might just be a stepping stone, because God knows the desires of our hearts, and it might just be a stepping stone to where God is leading you.
Yeah, it's so good. You know, when you first stepped out then and started doing the shows, was there a moment when, or perhaps a series of moments, right, when you realized, okay, this isn't just fun. This isn't just something my friends and I are doing, and it sounds good and it's fun. We might actually be able to do this vocationally.
Absolutely. I remember we played a Halloween alternative night for youth, and the other band on the bill was a little band that nobody at the time had heard of called Mercy Me. And I remember that night they played a song called I Can Only Imagine, and nobody had ever heard it. They had lyrics up on the screen because nobody knew the song. And I remember standing there thinking, man, that's a great song. But that night we became friends with those guys, and they're also from Texas, same part of Texas as we are.
Sure.
And we kept in touch through the years, and Bart, their singer, he became a big fan of the band. And a couple of years later, after they had gotten signed and kind of blew up, they called and asked us if we would consider signing with their record label. And it turned out to be a really good thing. And they invited us to come on tour with them. And I remember working at that coffee shop, working at the Starbucks. And I remember going to my dad after my shift one day and saying, you know, I think I want to drop out of college and go on tour with Mercy Me. We have a chance to get signed. And my dad was so supportive of everything we did. He said, I feel like that's exactly what you should do.
Wow.
So we went on that tour. I remember we were all working at that store. And so we all texted each other our last drinks that we made. And we went on tour with Mercy Me. And that opened all kinds of doors. And that was the beginning of our music career.
That is one of the best stories of band origination that I have ever heard, sir.
Well, thank you. it was fun time.
Well, and not to mention, I mean, you talk about your run-of-the-mill October Halloween alternative event. I mean, the Afters and Mercy Me pre-discovered. That must have been a pretty spectacular Halloween alternative worship service.
That's a good lineup. Yeah. What a night. Actually, I was just talking to Bart the other day, reminiscing, because it was about 15 years ago, this coming October, that we met. Wow. and at that night. Really cool.
That's amazing. We're here with Josh Havens, guitarist, lead vocalist of the Afters, here on the road for Faith Radio. So we talked about the origination of music in your life a little bit. How about faith, Josh? Has faith been part of your life ever since you can remember, or did you encounter Jesus later on that path?
You know, I was born into a Christian family, but my parents, they got saved literally when I was born. So my dad... he was from Illinois, but he was a pipe organist and was traveling through Europe looking at pipe organs. And when he was in Holland, through a friend, met my mom. And they fell in love, and she had two kids at the time already from a previous marriage. And within 2 months, she was moving to the United States with him and their kids. And they bought one of those Volkswagen hippie buses. They piled the kids and their cat into the hippie bus, and for a year, they just traveled the United States and Mexico. You know, they were hippies.
Wow.
And my dad had a big Jerry Garcia beard, and they were just hippies on the road, and they decided, okay, we're gonna get married, and so they settled down in Wisconsin, and about 10 months later, I was born.
Wow.
And they were not Christians at the time. But the night that I was born, a local pastor heard that my mom was going into labor, and so he wanted to come out and pray for them. And so he came out to the farm. It was a home birth at a farm. And the pastor came out to pray for them and told them about Jesus. And that night, my dad gave his life to Jesus.
Wow.
And then it ended up being a false labor, and I wasn't actually born until 2 weeks later. And the pastor came back out to pray. And that night, my mom gave her life to Jesus. And they were so on fire that they tell me they were in church so much that my first word wasn't mom or dad, but it was Jesus, because they were so on fire for Jesus.
Wow.
So I grew up in a Christian home, and, I don't remember a time that I didn't believe, but I do remember a time when I was in college when my faith was really challenged. And I had this professor of philosophy who asked some really challenging questions. And it really made me think about why I believe what I believe. And that's when I dove into apologetics, and I really wanted to understand, okay, why is this my faith? Not just my parents' faith. Why do I believe in Jesus? And why is the Bible the truth? And so that was the time in my life where my faith really became my own.
You know, I'm not saying this to suck up to you, I promise, but hearing the stories that you have connected with your life does make you sound a little bit like the most interesting man in the world. It's
I don't know about that. You know, we've had my family has had an interesting road, really have. In fact, if you want, I'll share a really interesting story.
Please do.
This has been what's kind of been happening in my family here lately. My sister, she's a photographer. Her name is Esther Havens.
Okay.
Phenomenal photographer. She's one of the top photographers in her field. She does humanitarian photography.
Wow.
So like Tom Shoes, Charity Water, you know, organizations like that.
Of course.
Well, she recently got engaged, and her engagement story has gone viral all over the internet. She's been talking to the Today Show and Good Morning America. ABC just did a feature on it. It was on TimeMagazine.com front page, In Style, Huffington Post. I mean, it's all over the place.
What happened?
And I've been doing interviews about, people have been calling to do interviews with me about it. So get this. So she's a photographer. Her boyfriend, also a photographer, and they've been dating for over 6 years.
Okay.
So they start dating, and because of their jobs, they both travel to the most remote corners of the earth. So he might be going to Timbuktu, and she's going to somewhere in the middle of Africa. And so they were like ships in the night. And the one thing that they had in common with their travels is they both would travel through Amsterdam on their way to anywhere because of the airline they traveled.
Oh, sure.
So he had this idea when they first started dating that he was going to hide a note for her, a little love note, in the Amsterdam airport Starbucks.
No way.
And then he gave clues on where to find it. So she would pass through there, you know, at a later date, and we get the clues and we find the note, and then she would leave him a note. And then it became this thing that they would just always do, and they'd leave gift cards for each other and little presents, and that just became kind of their normal thing to do. And so a few weeks ago, she got a text from him saying, you know, I left a note for you in the Starbucks at the Amsterdam airport, and she was passing through there, and so she was planning on going and find a note, and so she finds it hidden in the, you know, those bears that they have in the store, those little baristas?
Yeah.
It was hidden in there.
Sure.
And she finds a note that it's just a really sweet note of him saying all the things that he loves about her and how grateful he is that God put her in his life. And then at the bottom it said, if everything goes according to plan, I've arranged for your favorite drink to be made for you, and it'll be at the bar. And so she goes and walks over to the bar, and there's her drink, but he's also standing there with flowers and a ring.
Oh,
proposed
wow.
to her.
Oh, my yeah. goodness. Wow.
And so my other sister was there taking pictures, and the baristas, he had given cameras and video cameras to the other baristas. So it was this cool, cool moment, but it's gone completely viral. She's even had Hollywood producers reaching out about movie rights.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow. Okay, so the most interesting man in the world from the most interesting family in the world, Josh Havens, is with us here.
That's sweet.
Guitarist and lead vocalist of The Afters. That's a bit. This has been so cool. I've just enjoyed these stories so much.
If you look online, if you look on my Facebook,
yeah.
You'll see there's links to some of the stories. It's pretty cool.
Okay, perfect. Well, I'm going to check it out right after this, actually. You know, it strikes me that you guys, The Afters, seem to have a musical versatility that's pretty rare, right? I mean, you're perhaps best known for a contagious positive pop sound, like Every Good Thing and Light Up the Sky.
Mm-hmm.
But a song like Live On Forever is one of the freshest soundscapes, if that's a legitimate word, that you can hear on CCM radio in a long time. There's something, there's nothing quite like it out there, man. How do you keep that sound so varied and so refreshing?
I mean, I'm surrounded by great musicians, great friends. My bandmates are my best friends, you know. We're all super close, and they're phenomenal, talented artists and writers. And so when we get together and write, you know, we push each other and try to constantly encourage each other to work harder and make better music. And so a song like that, you know, we write songs about life, and I don't keep a journal and I don't have a diary, but I write songs to kind of process through the things that are happening and the way that God works in every moment, you know, the good moments, but also the hard moments. And, So like Live On Forever, that song came out of a really, really hard season when our longtime sound guy, he and his wife lost their baby at birth. And it was totally unexpected. And their daughter, she died the moment she came into this world. And so I remember going to that funeral and seeing this casket that was way smaller than any casket should be. And just, it was so troubling. And so my mind was on heaven, you know, a lot. And I started reading about heaven. And one day we're in the studio and we're reading these passages about heaven and how it's this place of eternal hope, you know, where all the pain of this world is gone.
Yeah.
There's no more death. There's no more crying. There's no more suffering. And the beauty of this thought that we're going to be with Jesus forever, you know, this promise that we're going to spend all of eternity with Jesus. And so we wanted to write a song about that hope. And, you know, we wanted to write it to give to our friend, to encourage him. And then also, you know, hopefully something that people can cling to, that we have this eternal hope of forever with Jesus.
If folks are wanting to, maybe they are hearing you for maybe the first time here, Josh, and they just are so fascinated by your story, where can they go, first of all, to learn more about you and to pick up some of your CDs or digital copies of your CDs?
And so we have, you know, Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and all that stuff, and we stay real involved with it. You know, love to bring our fans and friends along on the journey. And so, you know, we're going into this new season of making new music, and so we'll be you know, posting a lot of stuff about that. Love hearing stories that people have about the music as well. But yeah, so theafters.com or any of our social media places is a good place to go.
Perfect. You guys have been together making music for a number of years now, and
yeah,
this is a life that you've lived together. Would you say that you can pinpoint maybe one or two of the ways that God has really changed you and grown you as a person through this whole time that you've spent with the band?
Absolutely. So I think one huge thing that it's shown me is how important local church community is. Because in the early days of the band, we started touring, and we just played wherever we could. There was one year where we played 250 shows or more. And we were gone from home so much, and we just thought that's what you had to do, you know, to get started. And you know, we were so new to everything. We were real, real green to the music industry. And so we just played everywhere. And it was so hard on our families. And there was a season of time where I felt like I was gone every weekend. And I was never going to church with my wife and my kids. And you know, I felt like my wife, the people at my church probably thought my wife was a single mom who kept showing up with more kids. And sure. And they didn't even know who I was. And so we had a show one time with Casting Crowns, and we shared the same green room. And so I was sitting on the couch with Mark Hall, who's then since then become a good friend. And I was kind of just venting to him and saying, you know, what is this how it is? You know, how can we sustain this? And I'll never forget what he said. He said, "You can change that. You can change all the things in your life. You're not a victim of your circumstance. You know." You got to be faithful to what God has called you to, and you're first and foremost called to be faithful to Him, and then faithful to your family, and then your career that comes after that. Hmm. And so it's so enlightening. And after that, my guitar player Matt and I, we decided we're gonna do something radical. We're gonna get involved in our churches. I want to be there leading worship. I want to be there worshiping my family. And so, like Mark Hall told me, he said, "I'm on staff at my church. I'm the youth pastor." And so we got real plugged into our churches, and we told our booking agent how many dates we were willing to be away. And then we were very strict on that, and God's blessed it so much. And it just reminded me, you know, life can get so busy.
Yeah.
And sometimes we're willing to do anything for our career, or we're willing to do anything for success or power. And I want to be a person who is willing to do anything for Jesus or my family, and be faithful to those things that God has called me to. And if you do that and you follow, you know, if you are faithful with those things, then God's going to bless the other stuff. I truly believe that. And I've seen that in my own life. And so I would say touring has reminded me of how important it is to be faithful to those things that God has called us to follow Him, to love Him, to live for Him first and foremost, not for success, not for popularity, not for power, not for money, but to be faithful to the things that He's called us to first and foremost. And then if we do that, He's going to bless the other stuff.
Wow. Well, there's a tremendous word to end on for Mr. Josh Havens. Sir, what a delight to talk with you today. You are a fascinating guy and just a real encouragement. Thank you so much for being here today.
Well, I'm so grateful you had me on. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.